We began a series called The Way, talking about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Right now, we're in chapter 5, and throughout this series, thus far, we've looked at the Beatitudes and talked about what it means to have a blessed life. That word blessed means flourishing, for our life to be flourishing. We've talked about how Jesus came not to destroy, to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And in this, what he's doing over the last several weeks is he's been saying to us, listen, if you want to be salt, you want to be light, you've heard it said, this is really what it means. He's been giving a kingdom message, what he's been doing, and he's been doing it quickly. Pops, you've heard it said this, I tell you this. You've heard it said this, I tell you this. You think this is the way anger's done? Let me talk to you about reconciliation. You think this is the way you do? Listen, you've heard it said about adultery? Let me tell you about lust. And what he has been doing here is he is taking our eyes off of here, the teaching of the Pharisees who continued to take the Ten Commandments. And yes, there were subsets of things from the Ten Commandments that Moses gave. But what ended up happening is in the Old Testament, they would take those laws and they would add subset upon subset upon subset upon subset. And they began to distort what the Lord had for his people, his chosen people. And so Jesus says, listen, you've heard it said, I want to get your eyes up. This is what it means to be a follower of the way. This is what it means to have kingdom living. And so in all of that, if Jesus felt it was that important to put a message about divorce and remarriage, welcome back, Kyle. You get this one. Tag, CJ. He gave it to me. But you know what? As I've studied today and studied this week and been walking through these passages, you know what? I'm really excited about what it is that the Lord sovereignly has brought for me to be able to teach today, to preach, because I want you to hear this. It doesn't matter where we are. All of us in this room, every one of us in this room, you're faced with divorce in some way. Either it's been in your family, it's been in your immediate family, your extended family. I'm a child of divorce. Literally, I'm a child of divorce. It's touched you in some way. There's marriage, there's divorce, there's remarriage, all of these things. And so today, what I want you to hear is that in the midst of what could be opening up some old wounds, maybe it might feel like at some point when these types of subjects come up, it's like salt getting poured into those wounds. I want you to hear today that I'm for you. The scripture today is for you. What Jesus is going to do is he wants to lift our eyes to see this is what the scripture has to say about marriage, about divorce, and what does that look like? And I need you to hear. Some of you may have a tendency or you may be tempted right now to go, great, I'm turning off. Please don't turn off right here. Because as a fellow journeyer on this path, there's a word to us today. There's a word for me in here today. And what I think the Lord wants us to see, what I think Jesus wants us to see, is that we can have kingdom marriages. And if we want to be salt and light, if we want to be salt and light, that's going to mean looking our marriages looking different. They don't look like what the cultural and the societal norms tell us today. Just like we don't fight like the rest of the world, we reconcile. Just like we don't just depend on, okay, listen, don't commit adultery. We train our minds so that we flee lust and we bring thoughts under captivity. This is what we're going to begin to see today as we begin to look. So look with me in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at two verses in Matthew chapter 5, and then we're going to jump over to Matthew 19, because just about all theologians, all scholars, when you're dealing with Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, you jump over, they move you over into Matthew 19, because that's where you get a more full teaching. Remember, Jesus is getting our attentions and raising us up. You've heard it said, this is what kingdom living looks like. So with that, let's begin to look. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 31. Jesus said, it was also said, because you remember, he said, you've heard it said about anger. You've heard it was said about lust and adultery. Now he says, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Men, I want your attention. Listen, unashamedly, I call men to account. As men in our church, as a man who follows Jesus, he has laid the burden of leadership on us, spiritual leadership. So men, I need you to stay with me here, because if we want godly homes, godly families, godly kids, godly wives, we have to do our part. What I don't want you to do, men, is start figuring out how to fix your wife. What I want you to do is to set your eyes on Jesus and go, Jesus, you do with me in this what you desire in me. You do what you desire in me. I'm going to give you the roadmap. Three things we're going to look at today, and it's going to help you as we walk along. The first thing is this. We're going to look at the cultural dysfunction of marriage, first century and today. From there, we're going to move into the kingdom design for marriage. What is it that God desires? What is it that Jesus lays out for us? And the last thing is this. We're going to look at the covenant commitment of marriage. For those of you who don't know, I've talked about this before. I'll make it really brief. The church, LifePoint, sent my family to Brussels. They didn't send us to exile. They sent us to go and to help start a church. We landed there, and one of the things that we sold everything to move over there. We divested of all furniture, I mean, everything to move. And when we get there, we have to refill a home. We got to buy things. And so when we get there, we hear about this big box store. It's blue. We go out there to this place. It was called, in the U.S., we call it IKEA. There, they call it IKEA. And so we go. We walk around through the maze and up and down. And I ended up, loved the furniture. I thought it was really cool. I'd never been in a place like that. So when our 3 years were kind of done and the Lord had called us back, we had to refill our home here. Hey, I remember IKEA in Brussels. That was cool. Let's go to Memphis. I need a desk for my house. We start walking around. We eat some Swedish meatballs, get some fries, walking around. Desk. I see the floor model that I want. It was incredible. It was nice. It was heavy. Felt real sturdy. Didn't feel like some of the real cheap stuff that maybe you can find. More inexpensive stuff maybe you can find at IKEA. And so if you've ever been there, you take a tag and then you wind through the maze and you end up out in their big warehouse. I went to where I found the desk was going to be, and I knew I was in trouble. Because this desk that I wanted that was nice and grand was in a box about like this. It weighed a ton. Got it in my car. I get it home. I break my back getting it into the bonus room. I take my knife, I slit it open, and it was like a jack-in-the-box. Pieces go everywhere. It was like a million pieces. And I did what every man does. I jumped in. I got this. I found the little screwdrivers, and I started putting things together. I ended up getting this drawer put together, and I'm trying, how does this work? Where does this drawer go? I ended up with like a bag of pieces that probably that they were very important. I'm trying to get all of these things to work together, and it's not happening. And then I did what every man in here hates to do. Every wife in here is shaking their head, leaning over to their husbands right now, poking them. I had to get the instruction book out. I pulled that thing out and realized, oh, darn it, I got to break it all back down again. I got to get it down. After 20 pages of walking through, looking at the picture page, and if you've used IKEA, there are no words. It's all pictures and symbols. I'm putting this, but finally I stood back. That works. That works. Listen, you know what? We treat marriage a lot like that, don't we? We jump in and we think, I know how to do this. And we just kind of start putting pieces together. And that drawer that I'm trying to jam in there that doesn't work, we're trying to jam things into our marriage, and it doesn't work. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this goes together. And it's not until we get to the scripture, when we begin to look, that we begin to see, listen, we have been applying cultural norms, societal norms. I've seen some marriages. I think I'm going to try what they're trying. And what we realize is that what they're trying is not what Jesus has said we should be trying. This is not how Jesus has lined it up. You see, today, our marriages often are built on these simple contracts that allow us to jump out if we need to, when Scripture teaches that marriage between one man and one woman, and I want to be really clear, we're going to see this in Scripture. One man, one woman, not two women, not two men, not one woman and 10 men, or one man and 10 women. And some of you right now are thinking, really? Yes, I need you to hear. On the horizon is a thing called polyamory and polyandry. And I need you to know, we have to know what does Scripture teach about marriage, or we're going to end up in the ditch somewhere. And if we want to be salt and light, then we've got to do marriage the kingdom way. What does the Scripture have to say about that to us? So with that, let's jump into the cultural dysfunction of marriage. Matthew 5:31, Jesus says, "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." You've heard it said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Scholars tell us that in the first century, in the first century, marriage was very, very flippant. You could jump in, jump out. Well, what Jesus is doing right here is he's actually pointing back to Deuteronomy 24. So if you've got your Bibles or your pen, write down, because I want you to be able to go back and look at Deuteronomy 24 a little bit later. But Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 says this. Jesus is quoting this, and he says, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her," that word indecency, that whole thing, you want to underline that, mark that, because we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. "He finds some indecency in her. He writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand, and he sends her out." He says, you've heard it said. You've heard it said. What's happening here in Deuteronomy 24, many theologians, many scholars teach that this passage in Deuteronomy 24, is about bringing protection to the woman. Because women in those days of that, they had no rights. They had no say. They were given dowries. Now, we don't give dowries in our society today, but there are cultures that still give dowries. And a dowry would go with a bride to a husband. And if a husband found some sort of indecency in her, some indecency. There's much debate in these days of what does that mean, indecency? Well, in there, if he found something, he could send her off. She could go home. She could maybe get married to someone else. But let me tell you something. If she didn't have a certificate of divorce, she would have been and could have been on the fringes of society, ending up as a prostitute or a homeless lady. In fact, in that day and time, without a certificate of divorce, many fathers would not even welcome that woman back into their home. But with a certificate of divorce, she could go home. That certificate of divorce basically said, you are free to marry again. Now, in Deuteronomy 24, one of the things you begin to find out is that men, they would divorce their wives for some indecency, give them a writ of certificate of divorce. She might remarry, get another certificate of divorce. She receives another dowry. He might want to take her back in. And you know what the law says in Deuteronomy 24? That's not good. That can't be happening. Because men would take advantage of those women to get the dowry to enlarge their own standing and their own finances. And Moses here is giving a protection for women. Even in this day, when they had no rights, by the hand of the Lord, Moses said, listen, if you're going to find some indecency, you're going to give her a divorce certificate so that it brings protection for her. If we were to jump into the first century now, there was the teaching of a master rabbi who was the major rabbi teaching of that day. His name was Rabbi Hillel. His grandson is named Gamaliel. You might remember that name from the New Testament and Acts. Paul, who used to be called Saul, was trained by Gamaliel. Rabbi Hillel said he interpreted some sort of indecency very, very broadly. Basically, any indecency is all indecency. It was easy in, easy out. She doesn't feed your camels, get rid of her. She burns your biscuits, get rid of her. She leaves her hair on the kitchen counter, you can get rid of her. As long as you write the certificate of divorce, it's good. And into that, Jesus says, you've heard it said, but I tell you, you see, he's raising the level. Listen, this covenant relationship is so important that there's only one reason to get out of it. There's only one reason to get out of it. Does that sound familiar to us even in our day in which we live and walk? The easy in, easy out of marriage? And yet Jesus says, if we want to be salt and light, if we want to have kingdom living, if we're going to be people of the way, then our marriages need to look very, very different. Very, very different. Notice what he says in verse 32. Notice what he says in chapter 5 of verse 32. In chapter 5 of verse 32, he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, men, notice how he's speaking. He's speaking to us in this. He says, but I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. This word sexual immorality here is a very large word, all-encompassing word. It's the word porneia in Greek. And that word porneia is where we get the word porn, pornography, porn, and it entails and encompasses a large variety of sexual immorality. Notice that he doesn't get into all the different reasons for those things. He doesn't walk all the way through them. If you go back to the Old Testament, you have bestiality. You have men lying with men, women lying with women. You have adultery. You have fornication. There's all kinds. But what he is doing, Jesus is doing right here, is he's saying, listen, you've heard it said that you can do this and this and this and this and this. Where the Pharisees were preoccupied with all the reasons you could get out, all the ways you could get out of marriage, Jesus says, no. I want you to lift your eyes. It's immorality because it breaks the covenant. It breaks the covenant. So what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, listen, you're treating marriage lowbrow. I want you to bring it up because people who follow the way are kingdom people. This is the way of the kingdom. Those of us who follow Christ, those of you who follow God, this is the way of the kingdom. So if there was a cultural dysfunction of marriage in that day, we would agree that there's one today in this century, in this world. And I need to hear you. I need you to hear me. Right now, some of you are wanting to check out. Some of you are going, man, do I really want to hear all this? I want you to hear me. There's hope in the midst of where you are today. I want you to know that we serve a God who is steadfast in his love. We serve a God who brings his word to us so that we know what it is that he desires for us. We pride ourselves around here on teaching the whole counsel of the word, walking through the scripture. And today, he's brought us to a difficult passage that we have to look at and we have to say, okay, God, you have something for me today. And I don't know where you are today. Some of you may be ready to bail. You're ready to dive. Some of you may have already dived. You're out. Your marriage covenant is gone. But I want you to hear there is forgiveness, and I don't want you to tune out right now. Go with me as we continue to look. You've seen the cultural dysfunction. Look with me now as we talk about the kingdom design of marriage. Now, all scholars that I have studied over the past week, John Stott, Kostenberger, J.I. Packard, you're looking through, if you have an ESV study Bible, everyone ties Matthew 5 over into Matthew 9, because what Jesus is doing here is he's preaching a message where I can't always give you everything that I need to say. Some of you go, oh gosh, if you're not giving me everything you need to say, I can't sit through all that then. Jesus is not doing that either right here. What he is doing is he's calling you to attention. When he's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount here and he's talking about anger, He expounds on that in Matthew 18. When he's talking about divorce and marriage, he's expounding in Matthew 19. So look at Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. And the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were the religious leaders. They were the religious scribes. They were the ones who, they knew the law of God. And it says, and some Pharisees came up to him and tested him. Notice what they were trying to do. They were testing God. They were testing Jesus Christ. It says they were testing him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? That sounds like the teaching of Hillel right there, does it not? I mean, that's what they're doing. They're bringing here. So is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, hey, teachers of the law, I just threw that in there. He answered them, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? I need to stop, parenthetical. I hate that I have to do this, but I'm proud to. There's a male, there's a female. That's how we were created. Male and female. Marriage is designed male and female. Marriage is not designed, though our state, our country, has passed laws for homosexual marriage. Biblically, the scripture tells us that it is between one man, one biological man, and one biological woman. Back in. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but they're one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, well, then why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away? He, Jesus, said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Did you notice where verse 9 of chapter 19, it's almost verbatim what chapter 5, verse 32 says. You see, Jesus is expounding now. And you know how he expounded? He went back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where God himself performed the very first marriage between Adam and Eve. And he said, listen, it is good. A man should leave his father and mother. I want to reiterate that. A man should leave his father and his mother. Notice that he doesn't say that to the wife. Men, I'm calling you up. Some of you need to cut the apron strings of mama and daddy. It is time, men, that you pour in to your wife. She is first in your life. He says, listen, in Genesis, a man leaves his father and mother. The two, they come together. They're no longer two flesh. They become one. And he says, let no one get between that. Let no man do anything to separate. I did a wedding this weekend, Friday night. Do you know that these words right here were in that message? Listen, let me tell you what was unique about this. This weekend, I got to help initiate a covenant, not a contract, a covenant marriage for life. And then I went on Saturday morning where I saw the covenant dissolved. A husband had passed away. They'd been married for 52 years. Through thick, through thin, through great, through trouble, highs and lows. Folks, I need you to hear me. God has designed his kingdom-minded, his kingdom plan is one man, one woman for life. He says the only thing that gets you out of that is adultery. That's what it comes down to. He says, listen, I want to get you from the dysfunction that's happening, what you're hearing, what the Pharisees are teaching, what has gone. I want you to move from that dysfunction. I want you to move to the design that the Father has had from the very beginning. He says, don't you teachers of the law understand? Have you not read? It's not been like this from the very beginning. And then in the midst of trying to test them, trying to test him, excuse me, the Pharisees look at him and say, now, okay, wait a minute. Then why did Moses command us to give a certificate of divorce? I think I got you here. So if this is permanent, then why did Moses say that to do this? Do you notice what Jesus said in verse 8? Look what he says in verse 8 of chapter 19. Jesus said to them, he said, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed, not commanded, he allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the very beginning, it was not so. He says, listen, God's plan, his design is perfect. He has set up marriage. He's the one that did the very first marriage ceremony. He's the one that brought together Adam and Eve. He says, listen, God, through Moses, gave you a concession, not a command. He says, though, yes, did you notice in chapter 5 and in 19, in chapter 5 and in chapter 19, there is an exception clause. Marriage is for life, except for marital infidelity. And he doesn't go through this, 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 and this. He says it is for if there is sexual immorality. But I want you to notice this. He doesn't say that you have to get divorced. He didn't say you should get divorced. He says it is allowed for you to happen, for that to happen. I believe what he is doing here and what he is showing is that this clause is for repeated and unrepentant continual sexual immorality. I want you to hear me. Repeated and unrepentant, because in this room tonight, right this morning, right now, there are some of you, you're facing immorality. You're facing infidelity in your marriages. And I need you to hear me. There are clauses that allow you to walk away biblically. That doesn't mean you have to. No guilt. But I want you to know, listen, we turn our back on Jesus every day, all day long, all the time, and he does not turn us out as followers of Jesus, as followers of God. He loves us. He walks with us. But I do need you to hear, if there's no repentance, if it is repeated, I need you to hear, as the spouse who's been offended, you're permitted to walk in a divorce at that. In fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, write this down. I want you to go see it later. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul even gives permission for there to be another divorce. If two unbelievers come together and get married, if one of those partners in the marriage becomes a follower of Jesus and they start living for Jesus, they're on fire, and the unbeliever says, I'm out. I don't want to be married anymore. This isn't what I signed up for. And the unbeliever leaves, you're permitted to divorce. He says, though, as the believer, you're not to seek a divorce. He says, you stay, because who knows? Who knows that your witness might not bring them to repentance in Christ? So there's basically two permitted reasons for divorce. There's desertion by an unbelieving spouse, and there is unrepentant, repeated sexual immorality. Now I need you to hear, if there is permitted reasons, I do believe personally there is reasons to permit remarriage. You have that ability to do that. But with that, some of you may go, now wait a minute, I am divorced and I'm even remarried. But that's not what those things don't match up for me. Do not check out. I need you to follow with me. I want you to go with me. Now, what are some reasons that you shouldn't be permitted to have, or the scripture doesn't permit divorce? What are some things that the scripture doesn't permit? Well, I've fallen out of love. We just don't love each other anymore. Listen, I need you to know love is not that shallow of an emotion. Love is very emotional. When I see my wife, Amy, there's emotion. But I also know that when she looks at me in the morning and my hair's going in a different direction, my breath stinks. I've ticked her off already. I mean, like from the moment we wake up, there is a commitment that says, I'm staying with you. I'm staying with you. How about the fight that lasts for a week? Oh, we don't fight for a week. We just don't talk for a week. Well, listen, you do things to cultivate love. Listen, we just don't love each other. We've fallen out. No, listen, that's not a reason. It doesn't work. You know, we're not happy. We're just not happy with each other. God doesn't want me to not be happy, does he? No, listen, I really believe God does desire that you be happy, but more than that, he desires your holiness. He desires your holiness. And if you truly want to be unhappy, then as a follower of Christ, you don't follow his commands. That's going to lead you to unhappiness. That's going to lead to lives that are shipwrecked. You know, we just don't get along. We're not compatible anymore. I need you to know that because of sin, there are no two people who are compatible. It's just not right. Compatibility does not work. We work at this. What? I have actually heard this before. People who are married, already have a husband, already have a wife. You know what? I think I found my soulmate over here. I've actually had to say, no. You know who your soulmate is? It's the one you're married to. The Lord has brought you together. Listen, he has sovereignly ordained that you be in the marriage that you're in. You may go, I don't know how I got here. Well, the Lord allowed it. You are with the man or the woman that you're supposed to be. Right now, some of you, you may be carrying all kinds of weight at this moment in this message. And I need you to, if you're tempted to duck out, I want you right here with me. Redemptively, I want you to hear this. If today you're sitting in a marriage that you realize this was not scriptural, I need you to know that we serve a God who is steadfast in his love, who is full of grace and full of mercy. And if you recognize today, I jumped out of a marriage and I'm feeling the weight of this. Let me tell you what you don't do. You do not divorce the person you're with to go back. Because God, you are in a marriage today, and that marriage can honor God. It can honor God. What you may need to do, though, is you may need to call your former spouse and say, I've just recognized that biblically we got divorced and we shouldn't have done that. After she gets up or he gets up off the floor and says, who is this? You say, I'm sorry. I need you to forgive me. Father, I need you to forgive me. And then you get in the word and you start living like a man after God's own heart with the woman he's placed you with. You start following Jesus as a wife. Don't look at someone else. You say, God, what do you want to do to me? I want to follow you with everything that I have. Some of you today, you're still carrying around all kinds of guilt, and you actually had a divorce that was permissible. You had a spouse who had so much infidelity, repeated, you worked, you counseled, but the divorce happened. You had a spouse who deserted you because They didn't follow Jesus. I need you to know that according to Scripture, that was a permissible divorce. And I want you to know there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're free. You may need to come and say, Father, I've not accepted your forgiveness. Father, I lay my guilt. This guilt, the enemy is bearing at me right now. I lay this at your feet. Would you free me from this? God's desire for you. God's desire for you. In the marriage that you're in today, I don't care if it's your first marriage or your fifth marriage, is that you can honor him where you are. If you will, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. If we will call out, confess, and repent. So wherever you are today, if what he is revealing to you, I need you to hear, this isn't Kyle trying to heap guilt on you. I'm wanting you to be free. I'm wanting you to walk in the freedom that God has given you today. I'm wanting you to walk in a marriage that honors God right where you are today. But maybe you need to, Father, I receive the forgiveness and I need you to free me. See, the problem is today is that we don't talk enough about covenant. The marriage that you're in is a covenant relationship. We spend too much time looking for loopholes to get out. You know why? Because contracts, if we think our marriages are, I signed a contract, you didn't sign a contract to get married. Contracts are full of loopholes and languages to let you hit eject if things aren't going well. We treat our marriages like we treat Netflix. Dang it, they just went up again. This is costly. I'm not understanding what's happening. Eject. I'm out. She didn't clean the house. I've talked about this. I've talked about it. I'm out. He leaves his underwear and socks all over the bathroom floor. He won't ever do anything. I'm out. He is this. She is that. I need you to hear me. A covenant is about blood. It's about life. It's about death. The gospel says that Jesus laid his life down for me. While I was still a sinner, he demonstrated his love for me. He went to the cross for me. He sacrificed his blood for me. And even today, when I sin, when I turn my back on him, when I don't represent him, when I run away, he lovingly woos me and calls me back. I need some men. This church needs some men who will say, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Look with me real quickly. Look at the covenant. Ephesians 5, 31 through 32. Therefore, a man, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's talking about this is what the covenant looks like. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Does that sound familiar? In several passages now, Paul goes back to the original design of what marriage is, that we come together as one. Notice what he says in verse 32. This mystery is profound. He says, this mystery, it's a mystery. It's profound. How this happens. He says, and I'm saying that because it refers to Christ and the church. Folks, I want you to understand, and I need you to hear me. Your marriage is not about your happiness or your happiness or your happiness or your happiness. Your marriage is about Jesus Christ. Your marriage is about the gospel, the good news that Christ, he willingly laid down his life for the church. Men, I need you to hear me. I need some men who will lay their life down for their wives. I'm not. Some of you are going, yeah, I'd die for her. Don't tell me you'll die for her one day if you won't die for her today. Put your rights on the shelf and serve her whether she follows you or not. You walk in her life. The scripture, Ephesians, tells us that men, we're to love our wives, that we're to bathe her in the word. The scripture says that we love our wives as much as we love, like you'd love your own body. Some of you in here, you love your body way too much. You need to love your wives more. Some of you don't love your bodies enough, all right? You, listen, men, I need you. This church needs you. Our student ministry needs you. Do you realize that your children need you to stand up and love your wife like Christ loved the church? And men, I'm never going to shrink back from calling you up. I love you too much. I love you too much. I came from a divorced home. I grew up with my mom, my aunt, my grandmother, my sister. And you know where my mom took me to find godly role models? She put me in a church. And I need some godly men to get in this church and start leading their families, to start leading in our student ministry, to start saying, I want to show you what it means to love your family. I'm not angry. I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate. Ladies, listen, I need you. The scripture tells us that, wives, we don't like to hear this, but the scripture says that we're to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord. Do you realize that your life, you're representing in the marriage covenant, you're representing the church, how the church is to be submissive to Jesus. Just like the men are representing Jesus, laying our lives down for our wives. Wives, you're to submit to your husband. And the scripture doesn't say that, well, if he looks like Jesus, then you do that. It just calls us, we obey. Some of you right now, you're asking this question. Well, you didn't hit this. Kyle, what about physical abuse? I need you to hear me. If you're in a relationship, a husband, a wife relationship right now, and you're being physically abused, I need to know about it. I want you to let your deacon know about it, somebody, because that is sin. That is against the image of God. Your first step is not divorce. Your first step is to cry out and say, I need help, and we want to help you. We want to walk with you. We want to go with you and help you, hopefully reconcile, hopefully see some redemption. No more repeated situations. Get you out of that situation, husband or wife. There may be a period of separation where hopefully we can help that happen. And I want you to hear this. You've heard it said about anger. And what happens in Matthew 18? In Matthew 18, if we go and we try to reconcile, and there's no reconciliation, the scripture tells us you treat them as unbelievers. And I want you to hear this. If there's a man or a woman in here who calls themselves a follower of Christ, and they are abusing, and they are confronted with what the scripture says, I'm talking about physically abusing, and they're confronted with the scripture, and they don't want to change, then we treat them as an unbeliever. That's how serious our marriages are, the body, the community. Let me speak to you as a pastor for just a moment. I've tried to do that all through this, but just for a moment. If you're carrying guilt, I'm asking you to lay it down today and let Jesus heal you. I want you to know I am for your marriage. First off, I'm for God's word, and I have to hold up what his word says. And sovereignly, he's left this here for me today. You know why? Because I need to hear it. I need to hear it. And if you're in a situation today and you're going, I don't know what to do, first off, I want you to go to lifept.org/care. And we want to help you get some care, some counseling. Come see me. You come talk to me. You may be going, oh, no, I can't let Kyle know. I can't let my pastor know what's going on in my family. Hey, just so you know, I probably already know what's going on in your family. Come talk to me. I want to help you. If you say, I don't know if I really want to right now, you have a deacon. If you're a member of this church, you have a deacon who wants to walk with you, and they will help you and us come together so that we can get you the help. Sign up for Grace Marriage. If you're a single in here right now, for whatever reason, married, divorced, never married, widow, I want you to hear this. Marriage is glorious. Oh, marriage is glorious. But it's not glorious enough for you to go outside of what God calls you to. If today you're dating someone, you're looking for someone, and you're walking in the lives of someone who does not honor Jesus. I don't mean, oh, I'm a Christian. No, I mean, like their lives, there's no fruit. They don't walk like Jesus. They don't talk like Jesus. They don't love the church. There's no fruit. I'm telling you to get out. Get out now, because I need you to hear this. If you're married, that's not for you. I'm talking to singles. Get out, because I need you to know they're not going to change. Without Jesus, they're not going to change. Today, if you're here and your marriage is going awesome, you're going, I don't know how it could get any better. Don't stop. Don't take it for granted. Don't hit cruise control. Amy and I have been married for 30 years, and we go to all the Grace marriages. You need to find, single or married, you need to find a marriage model. Not like I did looking at my desk going, oh, I see that. Yeah, I can do that. No, I mean, you need to find a marriage model that you go, man, their marriage is like I want mine to be, and then you need to get up close to them. Hey, how do you guys fight? Hey, how do you reconcile? My husband, my wife, they do this. How do I do this with them? You know what that's called? Discipleship. It's called discipleship. I'm for your marriage. Where you are today, you can honor Jesus. You can't honor Jesus if you've never surrendered your life to him. And you know what the first step is today? It's to respond to the gospel. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And yet I turned my back on him. He still loves me and woos me. He's there for me. And as wonderful, I need you to hear this, as wonderful as my marriage is, do you realize it's only a shadow of what's coming? Because there's going to be a day when I'm at the marriage feast of the Lamb, in the last day, when Jesus, the bridegroom, comes to get his bride, the church, and we celebrate together. That's what marriage is about. It's about how Amy and I relate to one another to a lost and dying world. And that's what I call you to today. Father, we love you. We honor you. And I'm asking Jesus today, if there's a man in here, a woman in here that does not know you as Savior and Lord, would you convict them? God, would something that's been said today stir in them and the Holy Spirit use this teaching somehow, God, to bring them to salvation? God, for the marriages in here who are hurting, who feel like they're ready to bust up, God, I pray that you give them the ability to fight for their marriage. Let them step out and speak to someone so that we can come alongside. Father, I'm asking that you give our singles strength to hold on, not to find their happiness in another person, to find their fulfillment in you. And in finding their fulfillment in you, you are their all in all, and then you bring as you desire. Father, save people today. Awaken dead hearts to life. And thank you for what you're teaching me through today. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen.